From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. We have a lot to get to on the show today. A lot of important developments on issues that will affect people here in the state of Nebraska that we're going to talk about, including a major Supreme Court ruling overseas that delivered freedom for British bakers. Could Christian bakers in Oregon, who were sued for over $100,000, be next to have their freedom restored? We'll also talk about a disturbing story from ABC News about a group who placed a mass hex on Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh to raise money for Planned Parenthood. But thankfully, on the flip side, we'll also talk about this year's recently announced March for Life theme that I think is the best one yet. But first, I would be remiss if I didn't start the show by thanking everyone who came to the Nebraska Family Alliance 30th Anniversary Gala last Friday evening, those who supported it. It was such a fun, inspiring evening. It's neat to get to celebrate with hundreds and hundreds of people from across the state, and we were honored to have the leading advocates for religious freedom, Jack Phillips, Baronelle Stutzman, Kelvin Cochran, all with us to share their stories and encourage us here in Nebraska. It was a truly special evening. We were honored to be joined by so many of you. This is such a crucial time in our country where we need people to continue coming together to unite, to protect our freedoms, to uphold liberty, and ensure that in a diverse, pluralistic society like ours, we can live and let live. We can agree to disagree. We don't let the government pick winners and losers and force a certain set of beliefs on everyone else. And this leads me to my next point and why I wanted to bring this up again at the top of the show today, because this is a really important conversation to have specifically in Nebraska about religious freedom. Because when we heard from Jack Phillips and Baronelle Stutzman and Kelvin Cochran, what people need to know is that the same exact policy, the same law that was used as a sword against Jack and Baronelle and Kelvin, not as a shield against actual discrimination, but as a sword against Christian business owners, that same policy has been introduced in Nebraska at our state legislature every single year, or almost every single year, since 2001. And every single year that it's been introduced, NFA has led the opposition to that type of legislation in order to protect business owners, pastors, churches, and all Nebraskans of every faith or no faith at all to ensure that the government is not taking away or infringing on their First Amendment rights. And this is really important because we're right up next to the election, and the focus is usually on national politics, and that's the way it goes, and often rightfully so. But by and large, these really important issues start at the local level where you and I can make the biggest impact in deciding the laws and policies that will govern our communities. This includes upholding and protecting religious freedom. For example, just earlier this year, when the legislature was in session, there was a bill introduced. You can look it up, LB 785, that literally wanted to remove the words husband and wife from wedding ceremonies by replacing them in state statute with spouses. And of course, it was brought as just a simple cleanup bill, nothing major, we're just updating our language. But what the bill was actually doing was amending existing statute requirements for how a marriage could be solemnized and therefore legally recognized and valid in the state of Nebraska. And under existing statute, in order for that to happen, someone who is legally authorized to solemnize a marriage, such as a pastor or a minister, has to use the words husband and wife, and they wanted to change that to spouses. And so we flagged that bill, and if you know anything about the Nebraska legislature, you know that traditionally our judiciary committee, where this bill was assigned to, is very liberal and socially progressive. And so there was a lot of concern that this bill was just going to fly right out of committee. And so Nebraska Family Alliance sent out an action alert to our statewide network. And within just a couple of days, when we went to go testify in opposition to that bill and voice our concerns about how it would take away the free speech and religious freedom rights of pastors and couples who are participating in a wedding ceremony, we were able to present to the committee a statement opposing the bill signed by more than 75 pastors from across the state of Nebraska. And as a result, that bill never even made it out of committee. It was dead on arrival at that point. And that's what can happen when people stand up and are paying attention and making their voices heard so that our values and freedoms are protected. In fact, above the main entrance to the Nebraska State Capitol is an inscription that reads, "The salvation of the state is in the watchfulness of the citizen. We have to be on watch," and it's a job we're honored to help do at Nebraska Family Alliance, because there is an ongoing struggle in our nation and in our state over the freedoms and values that we cherish. And when these issues come to the forefront in Nebraska, and we see them every year, not just in Washington, D.C., but right here in Nebraska, laws, bills introduced that would take away religious freedom, that target Christian business owners, Christian counselors, erode parental rights, expand abortion, try and defeat pro-life legislation. When these issues come up, the other side is organized, they are consistent, they mobilize, and they are loud. But I can also tell you what they don't have. They do not have this alliance. They don't have Alliance Defending Freedom, the best legal organization in the country. They do not have Nebraska Family Alliance and our statewide network of churches, pastors, and thousands of families who stand with us for family, freedom, and life. And most importantly, they do not have the truth. If God is for us, who can be against us? But we've got to stand up. We've got to stand up to protect our freedoms and the things that belong to God, that He has entrusted to us and not to Caesar. That's what NFA has been doing for 30 years. And with your help, we can continue to do it for the next 30. So if you're not already, be sure you visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, and join us in the movement to restore the foundation of our nation, the family. Well, we just had our good friend, Colorado Christian cake artist Jack Phillips, with us in Nebraska. Of course, he was at the center of this year's most talked about U.S. Supreme Court case. And we got some good news abroad recently, where the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom, in a case very similar to Jack's, but in this case involving Northern Ireland bakers, a Christian couple, the United Kingdom's Supreme Court ruled in their favor after they were sued because they had declined to create a custom cake with the inscription reading, "Support Gay Marriage." And this all began in 2014 when the couple involved in this case, who owned the bakery, the MacArthurs, received a request from a customer who wanted a cake designed for him that he could take to an LGBT group event, and he wanted the cake to feature Sesame Street characters Bert and Ernie and the phrase "support gay marriage." The bakers thought about it and decided that creating that cake with that inscription would violate their conscience, and so they elected not to do so. The customer who requested this cake then filed a complaint with the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland, who then funded his legal battle against the Christian couple. And again, similar to Jack Phillips, they lost in court. They lost every appeal until they reached the Supreme Court. And so obviously this doesn't do anything or isn't binding or have any sort of precedent in the United States, but it's encouraging, at least, and I think important to see that other countries are also reaffirming and recognizing that conscience and allowing people to choose what events they will participate in and what speech they will and will not promote is not bigotry. This is the very foundation of freedom, that no one else owns you or your time or your property or your speech, and they can't force you to participate in something or compel your speech if it violates your conscience. The international arm of Alliance Defending Freedom released a statement in response to this ruling saying, quote, "Today's win benefits all private citizens and helps ensure that the government may not force them to create messages with which they fundamentally disagree." That's what this is really about. And this is something that should be celebrated by all, because what if that cake was taken to a different bakery and the request was to say, don't support gay marriage, or it said, support President Trump, or support the NRA, or support Nebraska Family Alliance. I would never force anyone to make a cake or anything else expressing something that they do not believe and that they do not want to convey or participate in for themselves. And this was another very strong ruling. Of course, Jack Phillips' case was 7-2 in his favor and included some very strong, clear language about not tolerating discriminating against someone because of their sincerely held religious beliefs. In the UK, in this case, it was unanimous. All five judges on the United Kingdom's High Court ruled in favor of the Christian bakers at the center of this case. And thankfully, this decision and, of course, the decision in Jack Phillips' case, Masterpiece Cake Shop, this past summer has provided some hope here in the United States to an Oregon couple. You might have heard of the Kleins, Aaron and Melissa Klein, owners of an Oregon bakery who were punished for declining to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. They have now asked the United States Supreme Court to hear their case, which is being handled by the First Liberty Institute, who is representing the couple, and they filed a motion appealing to the United States Supreme Court last Monday after the Oregon Supreme Court refused to hear their case this past summer. And the Kleins, this is the couple, again from Oregon, who were fined and required to pay $135,000 for emotional damages that they caused by declining to create this cake. $135,000 for declining to make a single cake. That was the result of their case and what was demanded by the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries, which ultimately led to the closure of the Klein's bakery. But now, in light of these recent rulings and the makeup of the Supreme Court, the Kleins hopefully can find some relief from the previous rulings and have this case against them reversed. As the president and CEO of First Liberty, Kelly Shackelford, said in a statement, freedom of speech has always included the freedom not to speak the government's message. This case can clarify whether speech is truly free if it is government mandated. That, again, is spot on. No one should be forced by the government to violate their beliefs. And this is something that the couple at the center of this case, the Kleins, wrote earlier this summer after the outcome in Jack Phillips' case in a piece for the Daily Signal. They said, "We wonder what the future holds for our case, our lost business, and our family. Ours may be, as Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote, the case that allows further elaboration in the courts, and we are encouraged to know that seven justices of the Supreme Court agree that a state's hostility to the religious beliefs of its citizens will not be tolerated under the First Amendment." According to the couple's attorneys, they say they are hopeful that the Supreme Court will respond to their petition to take up their case within the next 3 months. This is a big, big case. Implications for the entire country with what the Supreme Court decides to do. So we will keep you updated on that. And of course, in the meantime, something that everyone can and must do is vote. We are just over a week away from the upcoming midterm election on November 6th. And if you haven't yet, make sure you visit NebraskaVoterGuide.com. This is NFA's voter guide, and This is so important. The voter guide does not tell you who to vote for. We don't endorse candidates. We simply allow you to compare candidates side by side based on where they stand on the issues. It is entirely issues-based. It's 501c3 church-friendly, and it's personalized specific to your address. So you can see the names of the candidates side by side and where they stand on the issues exactly as you will see the names on your ballot. But this gives you the information to make an informed decision, so you can make that decision for yourself based on how candidates responded to the survey questions and their voting record and past public statements. And this really is the best, most comprehensive voter guide in the state of Nebraska. So we want people to share this as widely as possible. So if you have some friends and family, even if they're not Christian or conservative, or you think they vote differently than you do, This is still a tool that anyone can use. It is a valuable resource. It doesn't force anything on anyone or prioritize or promote one candidate over another. It's entirely neutral. We just want people to not only vote, but make informed votes. And there is no better way to do that this election than visiting the NFA Voter Guide at NebraskaVoterGuide.com. The other thing we're encouraging everyone to do leading up to the election is to pray. And the need and importance of prayer might be even more important after you hear about this next story, which involves a mass group of witches in Brooklyn, New York, placing a hex on Judge Kavanaugh and selling tickets in order to raise money for nonprofit organizations, including Planned Parenthood. And before I go any further, I want to clarify, this is a story that I'm reading off of ABC News, NBC New York, and various other mainstream media outlets covered this. This is not something I just pulled off of the deep dark web or some right-wing extreme Twitter feed. No, this is coming from ABC News, who highlighted this event this past weekend involving a group of witches who were gathering to place a hex on newly appointed Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, in which the organizers of this sold tickets for $10, and reportedly they sold out. I don't know how many that is, but it was a big enough event, apparently, that ABC News covered it, and they directed half of the event's proceeds to women and LGBT charities, and the other half of the proceeds went to the Ali Forney Center, which helps with homelessness, and they also sent funds to Planned Parenthood. So keep in mind, this is who's in Planned Parenthood in the far left's corner. And this whole thing is just really disturbing and obviously blatantly evil. This is how the event was described by the Channel 4 news team, the NBC affiliate in New York. Modern-day witches held a public hex on the Supreme Court's newly appointed Associate Justice in Brooklyn this weekend, referring to last weekend. The occult bookstore Catland hosted the hex and asked all participating to bring their rage against Brett Kavanaugh. The widely advertised event brought a large crowd of practicing witches, curious onlookers, and Christian protesters. As the witches performed the hex inside the bookstore, protesters holding religious signs shouted Bible verses outside. And at first, I didn't even want to bring this up. I saw it, and I was disgusted by it, but I think people deserve to know. And also, it's important for people to know so that we continue to pray for Justice Brett Kavanaugh and all of the Supreme Court justices, as well as for our nation, as we're heading into this midterm election. And people should know, this is who is in Planned Parenthood's corner. And this is a quote from the ABC News article about this, from the co-owner of the bookstore who held this hex for witches that they sold tickets to. This is what the co-owner of the bookstore had to say, quote, "Basically, it's all about causing suffering, and we intend to make Kavanaugh suffer." And again, I'm not bringing this up because I think what took place in Brooklyn last weekend is going to have some sort of effect, or did have some sort of effect. It was just too crazy and over the top not to share, and people deserve to know what's happening, because apparently it drew a substantial enough crowd that ABC News and NBC News were reporting on it. But on the flip side of this, on this issue, I do want to close the show by talking about something that I'm very excited to share, and that is the 2019 theme for the annual March for Life that was just announced. The March for Life is the biggest pro-life event of the entire year. It is an annual march in Washington, D.C., where every year over 1 million people from across the country gather to march for life on our nation's capital. And this year's theme is brilliant, and I'm incredibly excited to talk about it and promote it on today's show. The 2019 theme for the annual March for Life next year is Unique from Day One. Pro-life is pro-science. And this is exactly what the pro-life movement needs to be talking about, because it is science that supports the most basic and important tenets of the pro-life movement. Medical and technological advancements affirm the humanity of the unborn child. Consider, for example, that a person's DNA is present at the moment of conception, and no fingerprint on earth, past, present, or future, is the same. A baby's heart beats at just 3 weeks post-conception, and ultrasound technology provides a beautiful window into the womb so that everyone can now see with their own eyes that we're not talking about a blob of tissue or a clump of cells. We are looking at human babies. And as science and technology continue to develop, we see more and more clearly that every life is unique from day one in the womb. And Gene Mancini, the president of the March for Life, wrote an article about this for Real Clear Politics. And I just love this. I want to read part of what she wrote announcing the March for Life team. She says, "Each year, the March for Life board and staff choose a theme that will best contribute to the building a culture of life. And as they do so, they take into account cultural norms and current events to help make their message resonate with Americans. This year, March for Life leadership wanted to draw attention to the fact that science and technology continue to reveal the humanity and life of an unborn person, even in its very earliest stages. That's why the 2019 March for Life theme is unique from day one. Pro-life is pro-science." She goes on to say, "In 2008, President Obama was famously asked, 'When does life begin?' He dodged the question by joking that was, quote, 'above my pay grade.' While this response conveniently gives cover when advocating policies that are destructive of life in the earliest stages, the answer isn't difficult. An organism is alive when it meets four criteria: metabolism, reaction to stimuli, growth, and reproduction. The zygote, the first cell formed at the moment of conception, is the earliest developmental stage of the human embryo. It is undeniably human in that it is composed of human DNA and totally different from any other human that has ever existed. DNA is present, whether it's 23 pairs of chromosomes or 22, the fingerprint that each of us has, distinguishing us from any other human on the planet, is determined by that DNA on day one." That's what we need to be talking about. The facts, science, it's all with the pro-life movement. Science makes very clear that human life and our uniqueness as individuals begins on day one, at fertilization. Life in its most vulnerable form must be cherished and protected. Yet, tragically, over 60 million babies, 60 million unique individuals, unborn humans have been aborted since Roe versus Wade. And we need to do a better job of promoting a culture of life. That is why every year in January in the cold, over a million people march to protect the beauty, dignity, and uniqueness of every human life until everyone is valued and protected from day one. And pro-life people aren't just anti-abortion. They're committed to supporting life in all its forms: children in foster care, adopted families, pregnant women, newborns and their mothers, and the elderly, and protected them from being pushed or forced into assisted suicide or euthanasia. Every life is special. Every life is worth fighting for. That's what we're working towards at Nebraska Family Alliance, to ensure we live in a state where God is honored, marriages and families thrive, life is cherished, and religious freedom flourishes. As always, for more information, be sure to visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.